time for overtime.
You ready?
No!
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Jamal Shedd down to nine. Shedd on the bounce, Shedd the blow-by, Shedd driving to the hoop, underneath for Robert, two-hand slam!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
You're in the right place at the right time. It is the Friday edition of Overtime, ready to rumble into the weekend. But before we do, we got you covered with a rewind of last night's dominant Little League World Series opener for Maxon Snoozy and the Sioux Falls Little League squad. That was a blast to watch. Job well done, fellas, as they advanced into the winner's bracket double elimination tournament. Sioux Falls will earn the weekend off. They will not be in action again until Monday night, 6 o'clock on ESPN, back in the big lights in the primetime slate there, as Sioux Falls earns a big 2-0 win over Ucklin Township last night at the Little League World Series. That story available at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. We will bang the drum all day long for that tremendous team, the tremendous coaching staff that calls the 605 home and is doing us proud all the way out to our east, out in Williamsburg, PA. Williamsport, PA. Excuse me. Let's dive into that here soon. Friday Parlay Live coming up. NFL latest in a season preview for the San Francisco 49ers. And I love this team by team preview we do here in the lead up to the NFL season, because it lets you dive just a little bit deeper, get to know the offseason plans, happenings, movers, shakers, or lack thereof that might sound an alarm bell. You look at the Niners this year. They still have really good players, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. They still have Trent Williams there at left tackle. And they've got some stars and studs on defense, including Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. But they lost quite a bit this offseason. I am not inspired by the Niners' moves in terms of the number of defections, the quality of defections they had. I'm concerned about the Niners this year. Are they over or under the 10.5 win total this year? We'll see. I don't feel good about either. I'll make a determination later on in hour number one. But we meet the newcomers and the defections, the big nuggets of last year's team for the Niners that somehow, some way was dead last in the NFC West. Can this team get back to the postseason? Can this team win a few postseason games? And are they a Super Bowl contender in 2025? We'll do all things Niners at the end of hour number one. Hour two, High Noon Showdown, headlines on the way, and a weekend primer for the NFL, Major League Baseball, and more. All before we have our first interview of the day, Kansas volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer will join us, newcomer to the program, and he has two games in this AVCA first serve down in Lincoln first in Sioux Falls later on Monday, August 25th. You want to grab your tickets to see some big time programs here at the Sanford Pentagon? You can do so at the Pentagon box office over your lunch break today, tomorrow, next week, and beyond. Those events coming up on Monday, August 25th. You can grab your tickets. Two matches going on that night at the Pentagon. Kansas involved in one of those matches against Penn State, and going to be a big night of volleyball. If you'd like to go, Sanford Pentagon box office, or you can grab your tickets at Ticketmaster right now. We round out the Friday, August 15th edition of the program, middle of the month edition, with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yesterday in Major League Baseball, Cubbies lost again to Toronto. Blue Jays win that series 3-1. They're 71-51. Cubbies a little sluggish lately, 68-52. Other finals, Cleveland over Miami 9-4, and Detroit narrowly escapes Minnesota. Twins got out to a good start last night.
Oh my. Julian hits a high fly ball, deep right field and gone. Woo. Onto the plaza for Eddie Julian. Boy, did he need that. Did the Twins need that. Left on, left home run. and the Twins lead it 1-0.
So the Twins were out in front 1-0 there with that blast from Eddie Julian. Bailey Ober had a really great start, but unfortunately, that game unraveled. Detroit wins it in extras, 11 innings to be exact, 4-3 the final. Erasmo Ramirez takes the loss for Minnesota. He's 0-1. Here's the starting pitcher from last night for Minnesota, Bailey Ober, on how he thought the outing went.
First three innings were great. Felt like myself. Felt like I was moving the ball where I wanted to, mixing speeds and keeping them off balance. Plus, I guess, two and third innings. I didn't feel my best. Back-to-back hits in two separate innings. They scored runs. That stinks, just having those two hits clumped together like that. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I felt pretty good. Got a little gas towards the end.
You know, it's hard to take away a lot of positives at this stage of the season. Minnesota falls to 57-64, but they hung in there against one of the preeminent pitchers in all of Major League Baseball last night in Tarek Skubal. Here's Rocco Baldelli and how the team approached the Tigers ace.
What we didn't want to do was mirror the outing that he had against us the last time. We wanted to avoid over-aggressiveness. We wanted to see the ball and kind of recognize what he was doing before we just went out there swinging. In the first inning, we go out there, we had four at-bats. Good swings, good at-bats, working them. No, I was impressed with that.
Minnesota Twins fall yesterday to 57-64. One other final, Rockies back to doing what they do best, that's losing ball games. After a two-game winning streak, they lose the opener to the Arizona Diamondbacks 8-2 in Denver, Colorado 32-89. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Pirates at Cubs is the only daytime game across the league. That's a 1:20 start time on Major League Baseball Network. Other matchups on the way to tip off the weekend series. Brewers at Reds, 5:40. Braves at the Guardians, 6:10. White Sox at Royals, Yankees at Cardinals, D-backs at the Rockies. Tigers and Twins tussle from Target Field at 7:10 tonight. 6:30 is your pregame coverage. Tonight in the National Football League begins week two of the preseason. We'll see the Titans and the Falcons. Atlanta will be without starting quarterback Michael Penix Jr., backup quarterback Kirk Cousins tonight. That game, 6 o'clock on the NFL Network. And the Kansas City Chiefs in action against the Seattle Seahawks on the road, 9 o'clock jump time from the NFL Network as well. Chris Canty talking about if he thinks this could be Kansas City's last dance as currently constructed.
When did the first one end? Why would it be the last dance? Are we predicting that the Kansas City Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs moving forward after this year? Are we saying that they're done getting to the Super Bowl? That's the part that I don't understand. Like, when we had the last dance conversation around the Chicago Bulls, there was literally nothing after that 98 season. It was over with. I don't understand why this would be considered the last dance if Patrick Mahomes is only 29 years old. He still got at least a decade of runway before he's going to hang it up.
That's right. Kansas City Chiefs are going nowhere fast right now. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. They're not exiting from the postseason anytime soon. They might get upset for the division crown this year. Might be a year too early for that. And I will understand the argument here for you Charger and Bronco fans out there or Chief haters. If you want to argue and say, well, the Chargers' arrow is pointing up and the Broncos' arrow is pointing up and the Chiefs' arrow is pretty flat or maybe down a bit. It can be flat or down if you lose one game last season with your starters, two games total, and you reach another Super Bowl. And it can be down. You can still be right back in the big game coming up in 2025. In fact, I don't know if I'm brave enough to bet against that just yet this season. Let's talk about a dark horse team. More from Chris Canty here. An AFC dark horse that nobody is talking about. It should make the playoffs, would surprise nobody, but Canty says they could compete for a Super Bowl.
They got talent in their receiving court. They got talent in their backfield with Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and Damian Pierce. They've got talent.
That's
on the
a nice big three if that's healthy.
Exactly. They've
that's
got talent.
Healthy, though.
They've got talent in the skill position. Those dudes just got to stay healthy. If they stay healthy, if the skill guys stay healthy, and the offensive line gels, then the Houston Texans are a dark horse team to be in the AFC Championship game.
AFC Championship game.
Correct. You heard me right.
So Houston Texans AFC Championship game there, and certainly that's an interesting take there from the Houston Texans. They've got a lot going for them right now in terms of personnel, coaching staff, ascending quarterback, the backfield, though. Somebody's saying that's a big three if healthy with Damian Pierce in the lineup. You're losing me there. Nick Chubb did not have any juice last year. There's a reason the Browns didn't bring him back on a hometown discount, and he lingered for a while in the free agent market. I love Nick Chubb. I just am betting against him this year based on having juice and being a really dominant back again in the NFL. Hate the way it ended for him. Hate the way the speed bump was so darn large with that gruesome injury, but I'll believe it when I see it with Nick Chubb. I still like Joe Mixon as a back, still think he has juice, but a lot needs to go right for the Texans to enter the chat with even the Denver Broncos. And then there's a big gap between Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Houston. And that other peer group of Denver, the Chargers, and a couple other teams lumped in there. The Steelers, if you want to be so bold, could enter that chat, and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm not buying into a dark horse AFC title contending team in the Houston Texans. Let's talk a little bit more about the schedule this weekend. Saturday, we'll see the Packers, Vikings, and Lions all in action at noon. Green Bay is at Indy. Vikings are home to New England. Lions are home to the Dolphins. Broncos fans will be home to the Arizona Cardinals, 8:30 Saturday night on the NFL Network. And the Chicago Bears will play Caleb Williams at least a bit in the preseason game this weekend. That'll be Sunday night, 7 o'clock on Fox. Big opportunity, big question mark, all sorts of drama there in Chicago, and Damian Woody is not banking on it being pretty on Sunday night.
I always feel like Ben Johnson needed to deconstruct him because a lot of the habits that he had at USC doesn't necessarily correlate to long-term success in the National Football League. Like Ben Johnson's offense, you got to play under center. It's a lot of play action. He didn't do that at USC. You can't expect to just go out here and have a bunch of Patrick Mahomes type of play and think that's just going to be sustainable. It's not. And so I look at it as they need to start from the ground up with him and build him back up. So it might look rough early, but the hope is as we get to the second half of the season, things will start to smooth out and you can see the full Caleb Williams moving forward throughout the rest of his career.
And that's former NFL offensive lineman Damian Woody. Now more on Caleb Williams from Evan Cohen this morning on Unsportsmanlike, who is rolling out the red carpet for big time excuses for Caleb.
He's a rookie. He's a rookie. Every part of Ben Johnson's conversation indicates this man is a rookie. Didn't know how to watch tape. Said that in the article with GQ, right?
Yep.
Or I'm sorry, Esquire magazine.
Yeah, Esquire.
He said that he basically did not know how to watch tape. They're saying this offense is so complicated that he's not ready to play yet. What does that sound like? That sounds like a rookie. He's a rookie.
You're going to lose me with that conversation. J.J. McCarthy is not a rookie, but he is more of a rookie than Caleb Williams is because Caleb Williams played every single game last year, got NFL experience, and I know his head coach was a moron. And I know that his position coaches didn't help him with anything. They didn't progress his career, but he has a full season of playing experience in the NFL, highly experienced in college. He's not a rookie. J.J. McCarthy, a better argument of being a rookie than that. Even Jordan Love, a couple years ago with 3 years of sitting on the bench behind him, more of a rookie than somebody that started an entire season in the NFL, got used to the speed and the physicality, the playmakers, the teammates. Not a whole lot of excuses for Caleb Williams. I'm not saying it needs to be perfect this year, but you're going to lose me if you're calling Caleb Williams a rookie quarterback after he started every single game last year that he could with those Chicago Bears. Not a rookie. Is he starting from scratch? Is he learning something new? Does he face an uphill battle? Sure, but he's got a lot of NFL experience already. Caleb Williams is not a rookie quarterback. Regular season opener, Cowboys at the Eagles, Thursday, September the 4th. Here's Jerry Jones, more disrespect, more mumbling, bumbling, and stumbling about Micah Parsons yesterday.
I'm glad he's been here. It's important. For the team, teammates, but it's important for him to pick up all of the coaching and the nuances.
Is there a deadline to know whether Micah Parsons plans to play in week one or not?
No, not at all. You don't have deadlines when you're playing under a contract.
Yeah, he's playing under a contract. He's doing all the right things. He's been respectful both in-house and out-of-house with the Dallas Cowboys. He's had nothing bad to say. He said, I want to be here. Then he came out and said, you know, I'm done. I want to push this forward a little bit. That was more, as it's clear now, a little bit more of a feet to the fire of Jerry Jones. I'm going to play this trump card and hopefully we'll get something done. And Jerry Jones continues to do this. Well, you're under contract, son. We expect you to be a Dallas Cowboy. Fall in line. Thank you. Do the right thing and suit up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Micah says, hey, what about this contract? I'm trying to save you some money. Let's get it done early. Okay, I'll wait. I'll play through this season. I'll give it all for you. I'll ding myself up. I'll dent myself up and I'll still keep playing and still say the right things. Toe in line, mini camp, training camp, everything. Still at camp, Micah Parsons, doing the right things. Involve my agent. Talk to me. Do something. Jerry Jones not budging as of lately at Dallas Cowboys training camp. Now rounding out your scorecard here for hour number one. Your NASCAR race this weekend is at Richmond Motor Speedway Sunday night, 6:30 on USA. PGA Tour, a great start for Robert McIntyre at the BMW Championship. He's out in front of the field. That runs through Sunday. No action last night from the WNBA, but tonight we see the Mystics and Fever tussle from Indianapolis at 6:30. Aces visiting the Mercury at 9 o'clock. Both of those can be watched on Ion TV. Now let's get into some college football chatter here, because Thomas Hammack, a head coach who authored one of the bigger upsets of last year with Northern Illinois getting the job done against Notre Dame, ranting, if you will. I feel like this is more common sense than ranting, but here's what he had to say about the current state of college athletics as his Northern Illinois Huskies continuing to compete in the MAC, Mountain West, sooner than later. Here's what he had to say about the current state of the NIL, and he thinks that it pays to stay put and grow yourself.
I told our team the other day, you know, we lost all these guys. Let's see who plays. So it's all good when people put it on Twitter, hey, all glory to God, I'm going in the transfer portal. Let's see if they play. How many of those guys going to play or travel or get snaps? I enjoyed my college experience. I didn't get one dime. But the lessons I learned was more valuable than any money you can ever pay me. And I appreciate that, because that is long term. People are losing the fact that this is short term. I coached in the National Football League for 5 years. 5 years. Don't lose focus of what the long term. Get your degree. Learn valuable lessons that's going to help you in the long term of your life. That's the whole purpose. This is a transition from being a kid to a grown up. And I hope people don't lose focus of that. Everybody's talking about everything else besides what is the most important thing for going to college. Because if you're going to college to go get a couple dollars, you might as well go get a job. This is too hard to go get a couple dollars. Learn the lessons that you need to learn to be successful in life for the next 40 to 50 years of your life. That I would do it again for free. For free. Because of the things I learned. That's why I'm standing here today, because of what I learned in college. Not because of how much somebody gave me.
And that's a throwback there from Thomas Hammack. That's the head coach at Northern Illinois, soon to be member of the Mountain West Conference, longtime MAC member. And Thomas Hammack, worth your respect, worth your time, and a really great banging of the drum there for how things used to be. You get a college education, you get rounded into a man, you get built up by the staff you committed to, you stay put, and you'll be a well-rounded and sharpened up individual for whatever comes at you post-college. That is not the reality right now in college athletics. I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of kids out there, as some would argue they should, looking to capitalize, make what they can, best position they can, start where they can, get the contributions. It's not always peaches and cream in college football, and Thomas Hammack there exposing kind of the dark underbelly for his program, a Northern Illinois, even a USD, SDSU, FCS, FBS, non-Power 4, group of 5 teams, group of 6 teams. This makes a ton of sense. You commit to the program, you let that coaching staff mold you and model you and grow you within the program, you get your education, you learn to be out a man, how to be a man, how to be a father, you grow that way. Makes a ton of sense. And good stuff there from Thomas Hammack at Northern Illinois. Lastly, Little League World Series. Let's give that Sioux Falls team their due. Last night, they get out in front of Yokeland Township 2-0 early. And Maxon Snoozy, don't sleep on him, but get the snooze button ready. 2-0 final. Maxon Snoozy, the starting pitcher, allowed just one hit last night. K'd 11. Struck out 11 batters and an absolute gem of a finish. Here's the final moments from ESPN last night.
Mom and Dad, Brent and Amanda, all over this. Watching Max fire and ended with another strikeout. A complete game, 11K, one-hit gem.
12 of the last 13 pitches were all for strikes. He left it all out there, and the last inning was his best.
I can't tell you how many times last night we were watching that as a family. I looked over at my wife and said, this kid is absolutely dealing right now. There was hardly anything off base there. Nothing wild for Max and Snoozy. Consistent. Humble, by the way. You see a lot of these kids beating their chest every single big batter, looking over their shoulder, smirking around, beating up and doing whatever antics they want to do. Max and Snoozy did absolutely nothing until that final pitch, in which he earned that big roar to the crowd and that chest bump here. Max and Snoozy and that entire Sioux Falls Little League team, job well done. And I'll say this. As a parent of young kids, it's really hard to get around a TV and agree on anything. Unless it's the 78th running of another Bluey episode I've seen a zillion times for the night, we don't really agree a lot in the Ramin household on what to watch. Last night, it was not a hard sell for me to look at my son, my daughter, and my younger son, who is still grasping a lot of this stuff, to say, hey guys, there's a Sioux Falls Little League team and they're playing for a big time game tonight. Can we watch it, please? And they all looked at me and said, yeah, dad, sign me up. And I was explaining to my son, who's going to be 7 soon, these kids are only 5-6 years older than you. They're 12 years old. This is pretty cool. So I will say this about the Little League World Series. You talk about Major League Baseball, college football, high school football, the little eyes upon you, you know, setting the example as a player, as a coach, as a figure involved with those programs. And at that time of your life, the little eyes upon you, set a good example, inspire the next generation. Those 12-year-olds were inspiring the littler eyes upon them last night, because my family was locked in and I know I was not alone. Job well done. Immensely proud to be from South Dakota and Sioux Falls. 2-0 the victory. And for those of you keeping score at home, this is the 7th ever trip for a South Dakota-based Little League program, the 4th in the history of this specific charter. Back-to-back seasons, first win in a while for Sioux Falls. Max and Snoozy, the name to know. 1 hit allowed, 11 strikeouts, and next up, Sioux Falls has earned the weekend off. They'll be in action Monday night. You can view the bracket, view the potential opponents at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Got that story out there this morning. And I got to say, very proud of the graphic there with Snoozy beating his chest in front of the backdrop of the stadium. That available at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Monday night, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Can't wait to continue coverage of this team later on today and Monday as we cheer them on to victory at the Little League World Series. Let's dive right into your Live Inc. headlines of the day for hour number one. A pair of South Dakota State sophomores and Mia Bosch and Haley Christensen connected on a 79th minute goal to help the Jackrabbit women's soccer team earn a tie against Missouri at Audrey J. Walton Soccer Stadium yesterday in both teams' season opener. SDSU senior defender Taylor Thomas, Sioux Falls native, nearly gave the Jackrabbits an early lead in the 11th minute. She headed across toward the net, but Mizzou goalkeeper Kate Phillips snagged the attempt to keep the tally scoreless. In the end, Mia Bosch and Haley Christensen teaming up for the equalizing goal, and a good way to start the season, a 1-1 tie at Missouri. South Dakota State continues their road trip on Sunday. Jackrabbits head to Lawrence, Kansas to face off with the Jayhawk program. That is a 1 o'clock start time at Kansas's Rock Chalk Park. Other news to get to, South Dakota men's basketball head coach Eric Peterson has announced the upcoming non-conference schedule for his Yotes squad. Features 9 contests inside the Sanford Coyotes Sports Center. Those contests, Utah Tech, Ozark Christian College, Southern Indiana, Western Michigan, Missouri, and so many more. Excuse me, not Missouri, but SC State, South Carolina State, and many more. You can view the entire list at GoYotes.com. That announcement as of this morning. Let's go ahead and get our first break out of the way here. It's a Friday edition of Overtime. Rest assured, we got the Friday Parlay in the hopper. We got the High Noon Showdown with Twins tickets up for grabs for tomorrow. So yeah, parents out there, if your school year starts like many of ours do next week, how about one last dance, one last trip out to the Twin Cities on me? 4-pack of Twins tickets for this weekend. Tomorrow's game, Saturday, against the Tigers. You could be there on us if you beat up your neighbor in the nicest way possible and bring your family back to the Twin Cities one final time this summer on us, courtesy of Overtime at ESPN Sioux Falls. That's still to come. Immediately next, we rewind that Little League World Series and dive right in to other storylines from the sports world. That's coming up next on this Friday edition of Overtime.
The
the best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday, August 15th edition of Overtime, rewinding the Little League World Series just a tad. Yesterday, we saw four games take place. We saw Japan blow out Czechia, formerly known as the Czech Republic, 12-0. Irmo, South Carolina, in a shutout effort against Braintree, Massachusetts, 13-0. And then you saw Chinese Taipei over Chihuahua, Mexico, 3-0. Before, Sioux Falls, South Dakota took care of Auckland Township, Pennsylvania, 2-0. And a gem, one-hitter, 11-strikeout performance from starting pitcher Maxon Snoozy. Now, tonight at the Little League World Series, if you're as into this as our family is at home, you'll see games at noon, 2, 4, and 6. Vancouver against Barquis Nieto, Venezuela. Doing my best there. That's the noon game, ESPN. 2 o'clock, Las Vegas against Bonnie Lake, Washington on ESPN. Santa Cruz, Aruba against Aragian, Panama at 4 o'clock on ESPN. And then lastly, Fairfield, Connecticut against a perennial power out of Honolulu, Hawaii. That's the nightcap, 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN. If Sioux Falls had lost last night, they would have ended up in the consolation bracket and played Saturday night against Clarendon Hills, Illinois. But unfortunately for them, unfortunately for Euclid Township, they're the loser from last night. They'll play Clarendon Hills, Illinois tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And that gives us an opportunity to talk about what's next for Sioux Falls Little League. They're going to still be TBD. They'll see the winner of tonight's game from that Metro matchup against, I believe that's the Bonnie Lake, Washington and Las Vegas, Nevada matchup. The winner of that will be Sioux Falls' opponent Monday night, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Stay tuned for further details. And congratulations again. Job well done to the staff, the players, the support, everything that goes along with the travel and the time and the effort put in by these families, the players, the coaches, the staff, support group. Job well done. You're making us proud back here in the 605 all the way out there in Pennsylvania. Let's dive right in, shall we, to the big news item of the day. We can't go any further without mention of this. The Wolverines are in big trouble. That's right. The NCAA's Committee on Infractions ruled on the University of Michigan's advanced scouting case today, with the school facing a series of fines that could eclipse $30 million, a.k.a. a drop in the bucket at Michigan. The Wolverines avoided punitive penalties such as postseason bans or vacating of victories, including the 2023 national title season. So many out there that are bitter and upset about this or trying to drop the hammer down on their rival are probably pretty ticked off because this feels like a light slate of penalties. Here's the nuts and bolts. The NCAA also ruled an additional game suspension for head coach Sherrone Moore, but Michigan, who has already chosen to suspend Moore by themselves for game 3 or game 4 of the season. I don't know why they do. Oh, that's right, because they have a ranked matchup against Oklahoma in week 2, but they suspend Moore for week 3 and week 4. It is a losable game in week 4 against Nebraska. Neither here nor there. Moore expected to serve a 2-game suspension this season, and that following suspension will be sometime next season. I'm sure it'll be against the Cupcake Squad early on. The 2025 games, the Wolverines' third and fourth games, home against Central Michigan and at Nebraska, will be the suspensions for Sherrone Moore. NCAA COI also levied an 8-year show cause penalty for Connor Stallions and a 10-year show cause penalty for former coach Jim Harbaugh, who is now, of course, coaching in the National Football League. Those essentially act as barriers to schools hiring them in the future. Harbaugh's new 10-year show cause will not begin until after he serves a current 4-year show cause for a previous NCAA case. So essentially, Harbaugh cannot coach in the NCAA for 12 seasons. That does not begin until 2028. So that's the latest there on that. The size of the fine expected to be considerable, according to ESPN.com, although a finite amount will not be immediately available. $50,000 initial fine, 10% of the football budget, 10% of the cost of football scholarships for the upcoming season, and the loss of all postseason competition revenue sharing for the upcoming season and the year after that. Those values could eclipse $30 million. So yeah, this will hurt the Michigan program a bit, but in terms of the Penalties we've seen in the past for USC and for a multitude of other programs, the vacated wins and penalties and this and that, and dragging your name through the dirt, the death penalties we've seen in the past. This is a pretty light overall penalty for Michigan, but it certainly is one big thing more than anything else. And I love this as a fan of a rival Big Ten school. This is a show of guilt. This is a show of, no, this was not legal. This was not cool. You did this wrong. And the overall narrative surrounding this that really bugs me today is I've seen it several different places about, why didn't you bring down the hammer? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that with certain scholarship restrictions and other things of that nature? And some people out there spinning the narrative of, well, why should we punish this program now for the actions of the program in the past? That's what we always have done, is my opinion here with Penn State and a zillion other schools recently, with death penalties and show cause penalties and scholarship reductions and vacated wins. We've done it in the past. Punish the program, punish the fans, punish the school, because the school employed the people that broke the rules. The school employed the people that did wrong here. I don't understand why we're lobbing up softballs on this. I'm not expecting something absolutely astronomical and crazy. I feel like this, for the most part, is a good punishment. But for that narrative to be spun out there of, you know, why should we punish these kids who are just looking to come here and win and start on their own and a new head coach and blah, 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 blah. I don't understand why we would have that narrative around Michigan today in regards to what they did just a few years ago. And oh, yeah. They won the national title. I'm not saying they wouldn't have without this, but it certainly didn't hurt them to have a advanced scouting report on every possible matchup they could have. It didn't hurt them. They had an amazing team that year. They probably were going to get there anyway, and they absolutely rolled their way through the postseason, survived some self-imposed sanctions and some adversity. Yes, they did. That's great for them. They still cheated. They still did wrong. I don't want this narrative out there of, oh, this is good enough. This is fine. That national championship team is scot-free. They did it the right way. No, this is going to be a stain on them. It should be a stain on them because they did wrong. They broke the rules outside of the rules that were already bendable. They broke them. You can bend the rules. You can advance scout a little bit. You can go ahead and decipher signals during the game. You can hire people on your sideline that are code readers if you want to and get that information boom, 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 boom during a game, figure it out second half, and come from behind and win a ball game. That's legal. What's not legal is what Connor Stallions orchestrated under the guise and the secrecy around the organization and allegedly with the knowledge of Jim Harbaugh and others within the program that have since tried to cover their tracks with deleted text messages and statements like, Connor Stallion, I'm not familiar with that name. Yes, you are. Not good look for Michigan. Happy that there's some sort of fine here. You can view that entire fine, which is still pretty ambiguous at this point in terms of total value, total impact on the program. But a 2-game suspension this year for Sherrone Moore, 1-game next year, and just about a rest of the coaching career ban for Jim Harbaugh from the college ranks. That's the latest there, and a little bit more on the Little League World Series and Michigan's fine. If you want to learn more about the penalties for the Wolverines, that big long article, very technical, available at ESPN.com. When we come back, it's time to post up the Friday Parlay live with you. You could win big over the weekend, and we're going to dot the map of the sports world, some preseason football. You bet. I'm not a big fan of preseason football spreads, but I am a fan of throwing in some overs and unders on passing yards for quarterbacks, and I'm going to put Caleb Williams over under passing yards in Friday Parlay coming up next on the show. You can always enter the Twitter exclusive contest. Make a Twitter account, give us a follow, enter for free for your chance to win every weekend with the Friday Parlay. That's next on Overtime on a Friday right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Streaming live on the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right.
right back with you on this Friday, August 15th edition of the show. Pretty darn easy peasy segment here. The Friday Parlay getting posted now on Twitter. If you want to engage with the show, enter the great weekly contest online. Do so by just making a Twitter account, giving us a follow at ESPN Sioux Falls, and away we go. Typically, we have anywhere between 25 and 50 entries every single week, a good smattering of winners, a few dominant players across the Sioux Empire and beyond that score big. With the Friday Parlay, it's always brought to you by High End Glass and Tobacco. Here are your bets over the weekend. We start in Major League Baseball, where you got to tell me, who wins on Saturday in St. Louis between the Cardinals at home, of course, and the New York Yankees? That's your first pick of the weekend. Second pick is some WNBA basketball on Saturday. Liberty and the Lynx from Minnesota. Liberty are the second best team in the WNBA, visiting the best team by record in the league. And the Liberty are getting 2.5 points on the road. And then we're throwing in Caleb Williams passing yards over or under 65.5 passing yards for the Chicago Bear quarterback. There's a lot of pessimism here. If you took stock in what J.J. McCarthy did last week, you might hammer the under on that. It's out of thin air. It's pixie dust. It's a fugazi. It's a fugazi. 65.5 passing yards. The over-under for Caleb Williams' NFL game on Sunday for the Bears and the Bills. And your tiebreaker, total points between Dallas and Las Vegas. WNBA action coming your way on Sunday. That's the Friday Parlay. It is posted. It is live. It is ready for you to enter and win big on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls. Always appreciate our contestants each and every weekend in the Friday Parlay. When we come back, the latest from the NFL, lot to get to. Update from Jordan Love himself on his thumb injury, thumb procedure, when he expects to be back, and a season preview for another intriguing NFC team that could miss the playoffs, make the playoffs, win the Super Bowl, maybe? The San Francisco 49ers come into the crosshairs next on Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number one on a Friday, August 15th edition of Overtime. Not the most beautiful day in the Sioux Empire, but we're tuned up and ready to rumble into the weekend. Hope you can check out some more Little League World Series action. Sioux Falls Little League got a win last night behind the arm and fiery personality of Maxon Snoozy. A one-hitter, 11-strikeout performance leading the way for Sioux Falls Little League to a victory over Ucklin Township, Pennsylvania. And Sioux Falls Little League going to be off until Monday night at 6 o'clock, opponent to be determined. We'll keep you posted on that and definitely be talking some Sioux Falls Little League on the Monday edition of the show. Job well done to Sioux Falls Little League coaches, staff, support group, and of course, those young men. Updates from the NFL. We start in Green Bay. After dealing with injuries for much of last season, Packers quarterback Jordan Love did not want to go into this year with any nagging ailments. That's why he decided to undergo a surgery on his left thumb this week after he sustained a ligament injury in Saturday's preseason opener against the Jets. Love said the surgery, which took place in Los Angeles on Tuesday, was to repair his ulnar collateral ligament. Now, that is a ligament that, of course, UCL, you think elbow, I guess that connects up to the thumb. I am not a medical professional, but I'm sure some of you out there being in your car saying, yes, Bert, that is correct. Job well done. We'll see. I don't know. I think the time frame that we have right now, finishing up training camp and preseason and heading into the season with the choice to be going into the season 100% healthy was definitely the call I wanted to make. That's according to Love in Indiana on Thursday following the Packers' latest joint practice with Indianapolis. Dealing with injuries last year, I wanted to go into this thing feeling good. Love missed the second and third games of last season after he sustained a sprained MCL in his knee in the season opener against the Eagles. Also dealt with a groin injury later on in the season. And the backup plan in Green Bay is pretty darn strong. Malik Willis has looked the part of a fringe NFL starter since showing up in Green Bay. 2-0 as a starter. Also capitalized and led the Packers to a win over the Jaguars later in the season. So yeah, I think Malik Willis is a good backup plan, but the Packers and Jordan Love don't think he's going to be out anytime. Love saying on that topic, with it still being early and I'm having time to recover and be fully ready for week one, the recommendation was to get the surgery. So yeah, I think Jordan Love very likely to play week one. We'll take him at his word, and hopefully for you Packer fans out there, he's going to be 100% and ready to go for a big campaign in Green Bay. Well, we don't know about Los Angeles Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. Every day that goes by that we don't get an inspiring update has me feeling pretty nervous, and I'm not sure about you out there, but he's not practiced during training camp much because of an aggravated disc in his back, and he's going to work out Saturday morning. And here's the interesting quote from head coach Sean McVay. Hopefully, his back responds a little bit better. When asked about whether Stafford's back injury is related to function or pain management, McVay said, I think probably a little bit of both, but we're trying to get our hands around this as well. So I don't really have much more information other than to think we're trying some different things and hopefully going to be in alignment with getting him back out on the football field. Later on that day, the coach also said that although Stafford felt good, he didn't feel good enough to throw 2 days later. We'll see about Matthew Stafford. This does not feel good. Doesn't smell good right now out there in LA either with Matthew Stafford. Really tough stuff, especially in an offseason where, of course, we had the conversation of could he be traded? Could he retire? Will they work out a contract? What have you. Matthew Stafford back, ready to go, but the back might not be ready to go this season. We'll see. For Matthew Stafford, not a great update as of yesterday. Well, the Cleveland Browns got really, really good news yesterday on a pair of legal situations. We'll start with the guy that was on the team yesterday. That's Browns rookie running back Quinshon Judkins out of Ole Miss and Ohio State. He will not face a formal misdemeanor battery charge over an alleged domestic incident in South Florida that occurred last month. That's according to a spokesperson for the Broward State Attorney's Office telling ESPN yesterday. Prosecutors declined to pursue charges after reviewing police reports, body-worn camera videos, video surveillance, photos, phone records, and a sworn statement of a woman he allegedly struck. Judkins arrested on a misdemeanor domestic violence and battery charge in Fort Lauderdale back on July 12th. He will not face formal misdemeanor charges. So that means he's back with the Browns, back on the team, ready to go, probably likely to be in the mix of the team's starter in week one this year. Now for the news that doesn't apply or did not apply to the Cleveland Browns when it came out, but now does, is that the sexual assault case for former Texas wide receiver Isaiah Bond, once a fringe first rounder, second rounder, third round pick in the draft this year, went undrafted. But his sexual assault case has been no billed, and he faces no further criminal charges as of yesterday. A Collin County grand jury returned a no bill in the sexual assault charge involving Isaiah Bond, meaning no indictment will be issued. After reviewing all the evidence presented, a Collin County grand jury returned that ruling, and certainly that's notable. Isaiah Bond missed out on getting drafted. Now he's undrafted, and he signed immediately thereafter, just about immediately, with the Cleveland Browns. So Isaiah Bond and Quinshon Judkins both on the Browns and ready to contribute. Bond likely to be a slow roll ramp up onto the team. We'll see if he makes the squad, practice squad, stash on the roster. We'll see. Immensely talented young man, had some legal trouble, but is going to get off as of yesterday in a no build, faces no further criminal charges. Now let's talk about this, because this is ticking off a lot of folks that do not like the Kansas City Chiefs for obvious reasons. But here we go. Pro Football Talk saying the quiet part out loud here. The Rashee Rice case creates bad optics for the NFL. In sports, just like politics, people have their favorite teams. In sports, like in politics, people will apply double standards and embrace hypocrisies, according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. That's absolutely happening in the Rashee Rice case. Here's the basic reality. Rashee Rice engaged in a dangerous street race in late March of 2024, video included. The incident captured on video, and in the months since then, the handling of Rice has seemed odd, to say the least. Again, these are the words of Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, but I do agree here, at least in some length, to this narrative. Rashee Rice, this was March of 24. There was question if he would even play last season. He played the entire season that he could, barring injury, of course, in that year. Now, right now, he's going to be slated very likely to not miss time, at least until his hearing takes place, which is interesting timing, to say the least, especially because for you Viking fans out there, I agree with you. Jordan Addison's case got resolved. He figured out the wet, reckless charge, pled down to a lesser charge. Whatever the legal mumbo-jumbo was, he was some form of guilty in regards to the DUI that occurred near the Los Angeles International Airport. They slap him with a 3-game suspension. He's out game 1, 2, 3. Rashee Rice has had his case wrapped up as well. He has pleaded guilty to 2 felonies, resulting in 30 days of jail time, which can be served at any point over the next 5 years, and 5 years of probation. Guilty plea was entered back on July 17th. The next step was to evaluate his case for discipline under the personal conduct policy. But the NFL is choosing to not do that immediately, not imminently, but they're going to do it a ways away. There was not an available disciplinary officer until September 30th, which means the Kansas City Chiefs will be having the benefit of Rashee Rice early on this season. You can argue, well, Bert, it's going to be 3 games here or 3 games there or more. Does it really matter what games he's out for? I just would like it to be consistent. You can sue me over that if you'd like to. But overall, nobody really has that big of an issue with Roger Goodell and the office there if they are consistent, which at times they have not been throughout Goodell's tenure, whether it be with the Adrian Peterson case, the Tom Brady deflated footballs, the New Orleans Saints bounty gate case. There are a zillion different examples, and this is the latest one that does not smell right. When you got Jordan Addison, legal proceedings done, here comes the suspension just a couple days later. 3 games, ready to go. We understand it. We move forward. Now, Rashee Rice, who his initial incident came in March of 2024, and to his fairness here, did not have the legal proceedings wrapped up until July, but he's not going to have any suspension until, I don't know, October, November. Maybe not this season. We'll see what they exactly rule. But Sue L. Robinson will hear that disciplinary officer case, personal conduct policy, on September 30th. So we'll wait and see if he is suspended, when he's suspended, and for how long. That's the latest on that case, which, yeah, according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, pretty hypocritical of the National Football League. And lastly here from the NFL, Commanders offense has not looked as sharp as it should for much of the summer. And offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury knows why. There's too many players missing, starting with wide receiver touchdown Terry McLaurin. With the season beginning in 3 weeks, they need the work. There hasn't been a ton of contact with him, Kingsbury said of McLaurin on Friday. He's been here, but he's been working with trainers. So until he gets back on the grass, that's when we'll start building that back up. McLaurin seeking a contract extension, one of 4 key offensive players for the Commanders who have missed substantial time this summer. It has led to less success than in camp than last season, and others are getting opportunities to prove what they can do. But Kingsbury wants to know when the starting group can get together and what they can do when they're together. Kingsbury saying to the offense, that is a work in progress. Until we get some of these other pieces back, we're not going to know exactly what we are. That's something we have to get over the next 3 weeks. That's a bad situation, especially because there's not a whole lot of minced words or hurt feelings, at least that we have known or have surmised there in D.C. between Terry McLaurin and that franchise. The new ownership group has done just about everything flawlessly since taking over for the infamous Dan Snyder a few years ago. And paying your players and getting the most out of them, keeping them happy, especially these franchise pillars, offensive pillars like Terry McLaurin, very, very important. I thought that that would get done in a matter of days. When Terry said, I need a new contract, I'd like to request a trade, whatever it might be, I thought it would be a matter of days, and it has lingered, and that could lead to a slow start for D.C. this year in our nation's capital. Let's dive into our preview of the day. Very intriguing team, a mystery team. It is the San Francisco 49ers. Somehow, some way, last year this team was 6-11, dead last in their division, 4th in the NFC West. The head coach is back for more, year number 9 already for Kyle Shanahan. He's got a regular season record that is just okay. He's 70-62 over 8 seasons. He's 8-4 in the postseason, and they have been in the mix. Every time they go to the postseason, they're in at least the NFC title game, if not the Super Bowl. 0-2 in the big game for Kyle Shanahan as the head coach. The additions to the roster, Mac Jones, DeMarcus Robinson, those are the only names you possibly could know that joined the Niners this offseason. They were very much inactive in the big market of the free agent cycle. The departures, you'll know these names. Wide receiver Deebo Samuel, guard Aaron Banks, cornerback Charvarius Ward, defensive tackle Javon Hargrave, now a Minnesota Viking, left tackle Jalen Moore, safety Talanoa Hufanga, linebacker Dre Greenlaw, and defensive tackle Malik Collins. And that ain't all. This team shed a ton of veterans and didn't bring in hardly any impact players. Keep that in mind. Offense last year was pretty darn good. Fourth in yards, 14th in points, which would signal inefficiency in that red area. The red zone, the gold zone, whatever you want to call it, they weren't the greatest team at turning field goals into touchdowns. Defensively, they were good in terms of limiting yards. They were eighth in yards per game, but gave up the 29th most points per game last year. Big disparity there, something that is not common in the NFL. Now, turnovers were a big issue. They couldn't take the ball away last year, and they also gave it away a little bit as well. They were minus 10 in turnover margin. That is 27th in the NFL. So you're looking at defense and turnovers. That's a couple reasons why, outside of the obvious injuries, that the Niners didn't excel last year. The schedule highlights this year, San Francisco, if you're looking for reasons to invest, reasons to buy some stock, San Francisco has the easiest schedule in the National Football League coming up this year. Divisional outlook is promising, but a mystery. Playoffs, I put likely, but not a lock for San Francisco. 10.5 is the number, and I got to be honest here. You look at their depth chart, you look at their wide receivers, the health concern for Brandon Ayuk, the health concern for the backup running backs. Christian McCaffrey always has a health concern, even when he's healthy. I'm going to go under on the Niners here. I don't feel great about it. I like this team. I love the playmakers they have and the big stalwart veterans on the roster, the Warners, the Williams, the Kittle, the McCaffrey. Love those guys. I really do. But is it enough to get this team back to the postseason? I'm not so sure. I'm going to say it out loud here. Under 10.5, but into the playoffs for the Niners. That's my projection. I'll call them 10-7, 9-8 postseason team. I don't know about winning the division. We'll see as we continue our NFC West team previews tomorrow, Monday, with the LA Rams. That's the latest and greatest there. That's hour number one. We are overtime on overtime, but it is time for the High Noon Showdown. You want to flex on your opponent? Let's do it right now. 605-362-3776. I got Twins tickets up for grabs. And how about this for a sell? Do you want one more special day with the kids this summer? You could win right now, win some Twins tickets to tomorrow's game against Detroit. If you beat up your neighbor in the High Noon Showdown, the number to dial right now, we'll take caller one against caller number two. Make it easy. 605-362-3776. I know a lot of Sioux Falls School District parents out there. Maybe school starts next week. You want one more special weekend with the youngster before they go back to school. You can win those Twins tickets right now. 605-362-3776. Tigers in town this weekend. Saturday's game, tomorrow's game is on us. If you can beat up your neighbor, caller one, caller two, 605-362-3776. The High Noon Showdown is next on Overtime.